Welcome to Revival from the Bible, a daily devotional podcast designed to help more people get into God's Word and get more out of the Word. I'm Ben Blakey. Today's passage is 2 Samuel 4 through 6. Welcome to episode 100, everybody. You have now made it 100 days into our journey through the Old Testament. So it's good for us just to step back and acknowledge something that has been a theme throughout our reading, something that we see today, what we even mentioned it yesterday. But let's just step back. Let's kind of pull the car over. We're at episode 100. That's a good mile marker to get out, take a picture by, do all of that. But we want to remember, we have seen the theme throughout these first 100 days reading through the Old Testament, that God keeps his promises. That's one of the big themes that we see. I think of how prominent that was in the book of Genesis, especially, but we've seen it throughout the law, even in Exodus, as God delivers his people in remembrance of their promise. Joshua, he brings them into the promised land and fulfills every good promise for them. So we've seen this time and time again. And first and foremost, that's telling us something about God. God is powerful. God is eternal. When God says something, it will happen. So we see that over and over, telling us something that is very true about God. But we also see there is a human response to that, that is called for, that is required, that is the obvious response to a faithful, promise-keeping God. And that response, if we sum it up in one word, is faith. And especially Abraham was very powerful, and we'll see used all throughout the Bible, especially in the New Testament. You think of the book of Romans, he is used as an example of faith, even a father of faith. And so we want to be people that walk by faith in a God who is faithful. And so I want to bring that up today at this mile marker through our journey through the Old Testament, because that is just one of the central lessons we need to learn from reading the Bible. That's one of the reasons why I want to encourage you to never stop reading the Bible, because our own sinful flesh and our own sinful hearts will naturally be pulled away from that. Will naturally be pulled to trusting ourselves, to fear, to anxiety, to worry, to all of these things. But we want to be people who constantly bring ourselves back to, no, God is faithful and I can trust him. And one of the best ways I know to possibly do that is by reading the Bible every day. Every day, putting your mind in the Word of God, seeing from the Word of God, wow, look, God is faithful again. I can trust him. You need that every day as you read through the Bible. So we're going to see that theme again today, but then there's also going to be two other things that I want us to notice in our reading. So let's go through 2 Samuel 4 through 6. So we've seen this conflict going on between Ish-bosheth, a son of Saul, and David. And one of the dramatic moments that happened in the reading yesterday is Abner, who really actually seemed to be doing more work than Ish-bosheth. Seems like Ish-bosheth was almost like a puppet that Abner had propped up. Abner has left him, went to David, and then was murdered by Joab. And when Ish-bosheth hears this, he freaks out. And everyone on his side freaks out. And then two men come and they murder him. Perhaps they had motives of murdering him, thinking, hey, if we murder him, that gets us in good with David. That doesn't work out any better for them than it did the Amalekite, who thought he could lie about killing King Saul. But notice something that David says in response to these men who bring him the head of Ish-bosheth. He says, when he basically tells them that he's going to have them killed. I mean, verse 11, how much more when wicked men have killed a righteous man in his own house on his bed, shall I not now require his blood at your hand and destroy you from the earth? So death sentence delivered against these guys. But notice how David starts it all off at the end of verse 9. He says, as the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life out of every adversity. Can you stop and think about that for a moment? Can you stop and think about how David is reflecting on all the trials that he's been through, whether that was having the courage to face Goliath, or all that he went through in battle so far with the Philistines, or all that he's gone through in this saga with Saul chasing him. All of them, he notes God's deliverance. He notes God's redemption. He notes that he serves a faithful God. You need to note that as you are reading through this today, and you want to be someone who, like David, can say, God has redeemed my life out of every adversity. And so then we go on. David is now anointed king over all of Israel, and this fulfills God's promise. You see this in verse 12 of chapter 5, and David knew that the Lord had established him king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people, Israel. So God established David just like he said he would. That's one of the big ideas you need to not miss from the reading today. And then we see David, even just in his acknowledgement of God in the past, but David also walks by faith by seeking God in the present. And we've already seen this theme before, but as David then fights against the Philistines at the end of chapter 5, a couple different times, we see, and David inquired of the Lord, shall I go up against the Philistines? And again in verse 23, he's inquiring of the Lord. So he is seeking God and doing as God has commanded. We have a faithful God and we need to walk by faith. That's the heartbeat of the Christian life. We walk by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. And our faith is fueled by reading the Bible. That's why we call it revival from the Bible. Your faith gets revived, strengthened, revitalized every day as you spend time in the Word of God. Now, there's two other things I want us to see today in chapter 6. Chapter 6 has this account where they are bringing the ark up to Jerusalem. Another thing that happened in our passage, another thing of significance, that now Jerusalem is taken, and that will now become the capital city of David's reign. It becomes the capital city of Israel. It's the city where Jesus comes and dies on the cross and is risen from the dead, and it is a city that will still play an important part in the future of history. So now David is in Jerusalem, and he's bringing the ark to Jerusalem, and there's this incident along the way as they have the ark on a cart where the ark seems to totter and is about to fall, and this man Uzzah, he puts out his hand to kind of prevent it from falling. And the anger of the Lord is kindled, and God strikes this guy Uzzah down on the spot. He touches the ark, and boom, God strikes him down. Now, if you say, wow, that's harsh, Numbers 4:15 spells it out pretty clearly. It says in plain language that they are not to touch the ark, and if they do, they will die. They aren't supposed to touch. It says they're the holy things, and God had given them instructions for carrying these things with poles and things like that so that they would not touch these things lest they die. And another thing that's interesting, I believe it's R.C. Sproul who puts it well this way, that Uzzah assumes he's cleaner than the dirt that the ark would have fallen into. And that's a bad assumption, because dirt is just doing what God made it to do. Dirt is just being, well, dirty. And that's what God made it to do. But humans, we are corrupted. We do not do always what God designed us to do. So it was a mistake for Uzzah to think that he was any cleaner than the dirt that the ark would have fallen into. And so this is a very powerful moment in the Bible, I think, for us to understand and appreciate the holiness of God, that we would see that God is holy and we are unclean. One passage we'll get to later is Isaiah 6, where the prophet Isaiah gets a vision of the holiness of God. And what does he say? Woe is me, I am unclean. We need to see our own uncleanness. And we need to realize we have to approach God through his way. We cannot assume the ability to approach God. No, it only comes through Jesus Christ. And so we need to acknowledge that. We need to understand that we can't just disregard God's word. We can't take God lightly. He is holy and we are unclean, and we can only approach him in the way that he says we can approach him. And that's where I would say, in the broadest sense, that's only through Jesus Christ. There's no other way to approach God except through Jesus Christ, because we are unholy. And so some powerful lessons from Uzzah there on the holiness of God. But then finally, there's this incident between David and one of his wives, Michal, where he dances before the Lord, and she is upset about it. And she says, she compares David to one of the vulgar fellows who acts shamelessly when he uncovers himself. Now, you may think, that doesn't sound good. And maybe you even just think about things you see in maybe worship context today where you're like, that's worldly, that's vulgar, that's what the world does. I don't know that we should be doing that. I think it's good to take Michael's words here with a grain of salt. She may be exaggerating here in what she is saying, because the text does not really reflect her thoughts well. Even our passage today ends with the fact that she had no child to the day of her death. So the text, I think, is clearly putting her on the wrong side and David on the right side. And so I think it might be better to see it as she felt it was vulgar. She felt that it was shameful, but in reality, it was actually right. It was fitting. And that there is a rightness to rejoicing and celebration before an event like this. This was a moment worthy of celebration. And David even responds and says, it was before the Lord. I was worshiping the Lord who chose me above your father and above all his house to appoint me as a prince over Israel, the people of the Lord, and I will celebrate before the Lord. I will make myself yet more contemptible than this, and I will be abased in your eyes. Basically, you're never going to find this worship of God honorable as it rightly is. So our worship of God, we want to worship before the Lord. That's not always something that's going to make sense to people that aren't on that same page of worshiping the Lord. But God deserves our worship. God deserves sometimes even our exuberance and celebration and jubilation. And we see that here from David. And we see that from the foil of this negative response from Michal. But let's remember the big picture today. Let's celebrate God's faithfulness. And let's remember one of the reasons why we do revival from the Bible is to strengthen our faith and confidence in God. Thanks for digging into God's Word with me today on Revival from the Bible. For more resources, check out revivalfromthebible.com. To learn more about Compass Bible Church Treasure Valley, go to compassbible.tv. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.